Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Y'all are garbage.
See, Seth, Zach liked my joke.
Yeah,
anyway,
I really didn't.
Welcome back to Faking Movies, everybody.
You're all garbage.
Yeah. I think you all know my co-hosts. This is my dear friend Zach, who likes my jokes, and my dear friend Seth, who's right.
Woo!
Oh, dear. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, not terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is a special one. As I'm sure our devoted us know, this is our 52nd episode.
Oof.
We have been around for a year. This baby is old enough to crawl or walk. I don't know much about babies.
I don't know how babies work, but I presume they can do something at a year, right?
Yeah, parents, write in and tell us what the number one milestone is.
Yeah, what do babies do at 1 year?
I think they poop. I don't know.
I think they've pooped the entire time. I think that's necessary.
Boy, oh boy, have we pooped out some podcasts in the last year.
We're the babies of podcasting.
it's our podcast baby. Full of shit, and nobody wants to hear it at the coffee shop.
Yep.
Or library, or anywhere.
But we will talk about it endlessly.
Yes.
Just like a baby.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is a really... extended metaphor we're doing now.
Yep.
I did not have this much baby material in mind today, but we want
got
you
a
also
tight 30 seconds.
But you know, obviously thank you guys for tuning in. Fucking 1 year, it's crazy.
We've
got also a great Twitter account now that we have Twitter queen working it for us. I like to post things on the Instagram. They're all dumb. and Seth keeps our old school websites running with some content. So make
very
sure you check
rarely
those out.
Right now. But I should do that again.
Sure. I mean, it's more than the rest of us combined. So.
It's the summertime. And
the living's easy,
as we are all aware. Especially when Greg Kinnear sings it in
the remake of what's it called?
Porky and Bess? What?
Oh, right. I forgot he did Porgy and Bess. I just assumed it was in Sabrina remake, but, you know.
I think it was in something else. I can't remember. It was some ridiculous incidental thing. But anyway.
Gotcha.
Everybody, check out Greg Kinnear singing Summertime.
Speaking of movies.
It's very pleasant.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you should check out the actual best version by Sublime.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, for real.
What is
anything but that?
Is it
anything but that?
Why do we have to keep coming back to ska? Why do we always come back to ska?
Because we are a '90s movie at heart.
Oh,
and,
boy.
Yeah. Well, and you know,
Skank Corner out
as
of the way
come,
early.
Yeah. As you've as you've all come to know over this past year. Oh, and it feels so good. We thrive on cinematic blind spots,
ooh.
And today. We've been blinded by a star, baby. Zach.
That's true.
Tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah, what
all
bullshit
right.
did we give you this time?
Yeah, this is this felt like a lot to live up to because y'all been very excited for this. You gave me you gave me Starman.
We have our reasons.
Yep.
Yeah.
Starman?
Sorry, what was that?
Starman?
Starman. Yes.
Starman. Starring
Stop it.
Starring Jeff Bridge, or maybe Bridges.
You know the answer to that.
Karen Allen, who I had to look up, and she's the beloved Marion from the Indie
Marion
series.
Marion Ravenwood.
Yeah.
Well, I know her career. I didn't know her name, but like I remember looking her up, and she's been in... like Indiana Jones kind of ruined her shit, I think, right? Like she was like never cast in good
shit.
Yeah,
she was
again.
In Animal House before that, and...
yeah.
She was in the fucking The Sandlot later in life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought she had kind of a
not
Mark Hamill situation where everybody was like, oh, yeah, you're kind of that person, though. We can't That's it.
She kind of did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know enough about her career specifics to weigh in, but I mean, we can only name like three movies she's been
right,
in, so
right.
That might. Yeah.
Yeah. The beloved grizzled MC Gainey.
And who was on our last episode also.
Yeah, indeed he was.
Two-timer, yeah. MC Gainey.
Yep. Citizen Ruth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a person whom I think is the director, but I'm going to call him Charles Martin, quote, some guy Smith. Is he in it or is he the director? I don't know.
No, he's in it. He's a that guy kind of actor.
Yeah, he's very much a that guy.
I looked up his picture and I was like, ooh, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Charles Martin Smith was also in Dolphin Tale too. In case
his Google like come up on the sidebar credits were Dolphin Tale, some shit, Dolphin Tale two, and Starman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that speaks for itself, about right. I guess. Yeah.
Y'all ever see the Flipper movie from the 90s
yeah.
that had Paul Hogan and Seth Doppelganger?
Yeah, no. For sure.
No, never again.
It wasn't great, but
no, it was bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, dolphin movies.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right.
Let's get moving here.
So, okay. We open on Jeff Bridges inside a sad bar drinking sad drinks, as one does in movies.
Oh, is he just drinking vermouth on ice? Ugh.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We're back. That's a hat trick for vermouth on the rocks. Yeah.
With a twist.
With a twist.
Yuckers.
MC Gainey sits next to him, grizzled as always, also sad drinking. A suitcase sits on the chair between them. They commiserate quite a bit as they get drunker. Jeff reveals that he's recently divorced from Karen Allen and isn't getting mm-hmm. acting jobs like he used to, so he's a bit lost in life.
Okay, so can I ask a question? How old do you envision him being? Because that like really changes the way I imagine this movie. Yeah,
sure. I'm guessing this movie is like mid-late 80s, but I was picturing them current day, because...
So you want old Jeff Bridges.
Old Jeff.
That's what I was getting at, yeah. Like
Dumb and Dumber 2 Jeff, yeah.
Gotcha.
And like sad looking, not like Newsroom Jeff, where he's like...
Wait a minute, Jeff? Dumb and Dumber 2, that's
Do you mean
Jeff
Daniels?
Daniels?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that changes things. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh.
I should say so.
Huh, I was picturing Jeff Daniels this whole time.
Oh, no.
Well, you know what? Jeff Bridges is a chameleon. Let's go.
Yeah,
he can play a man with long hair or with no hair.
This is like just as easily. Remake Rooster Cogburn styles Jeff Bridges is what we're talking about.
I mean,
the age group we're in, yeah.
Okay. Now I'm just picturing the dude doing sad drinking. So, like, it still works for sure.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Many
yeah,
scenes
it surely does.
From The Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, fair.
Anyway. Yeah, my bad on that one.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was this is definitely going to color things.
So MC Gainey decides to call it a night and stumbles out of the bar. Jeff stares ahead and finishes his drink and goes to head out when he realizes that this stranger he just met left his suitcase. The bartender won't take it, so Jeff decides, thinking he'll get it back to him somehow, that he'll take it himself. He wakes the next morning, having forgotten about the suitcase, tripping on it as he stumbles to the bathroom. He ignores it and goes about his life, not really knowing what to do with it anyway if he were to decide to try to be sort of cool about it. After a week, he comes home and it's moved, confusingly, to the living room. As he's in sort of a dark place, he's been drinking a lot, so he doesn't really remember if it was him, but it surely must have been. He eyes it for a few more days until curiosity gets the best of him and he opens it up. To his great surprise, he finds an ancient-looking ventriloquist dummy all mangled and stuffed into this very old case.
Oh, no.
He removes it. Yeah. He removes it, looking for some sort of identifying information, only to find the name Starman, in all capital, emblazoned on the back of the dummy.
Hey, Zach, can we pause really quick?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you, just to let the listeners in here, had mentioned, like, roughly a half hour before we recorded that you hadn't written anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when you eventually did come up with an idea, you said that it was, like, super cliche. In what way do you think a ventriloquist dummy with the name Starman on it is super cliche?
No, this might come up later. But no, I don't think I said cliche. I think I just said really dumb and really long. I always go really long. I don't know why.
Did you quickly read an R.L. Stein novel before?
Or a second R.L. Stein novel?
Or we'll even get a back third to that. R.L. Stein novella.
We will get back to that for sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How many interviews about Candace Bergen and her father were you watching?
Oh, mm-hmm. Is that a thing? I didn't know that.
Her dad mm-hmm. was a very famous ventriloquist.
Oh. Well, she's like 100, so that makes him like 1850s, thereabouts. Like pre-civil, mm-hmm. antebellum South ventriloquist.
Yep. Nobody has children until they're 50 years old. Everyone knows this.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Especially in the past when everybody lived very long.
Yep.
Yep. Back when we didn't have polio. I mean,
yeah.
No, it's making a comeback.
I hear that. Wow. Hey, great job, parents.
But Zach, continue.
By the way,
your...
our podcast is vaccinated, just so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank
you. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Zach, continue with your Night of the Living Dummy.
certainly, mm-hmm. certainly. Yeah. So he sees Starman is emblazoned on the back of the dummy. A bit confused, he puts it away, thinking nothing of it, goes on with life. Mm-hmm. Sure. Weeks go by, and he finally decides to try it out. Finding that he's actually pretty good at it. On a whim, he brings it back to that same bar, thinking he might find MC Gainey and give it back to him. Having no luck there, he gets a bit drunk, as is customary for him at this point in his life. Fortuitously, it's an open mic night at the bar. So with some new liquid courage, yep, mm-hmm. he gets up and does a routine. As he gears up to do this routine that he hasn't practiced or planned out at all, to his great amazement, the dummy just starts speaking his thoughts as if by magic. The dummy says something like, "Okay, gotta remember how to talk without moving my lips," the exact thing he was just thinking. And of course, it gets a laugh because people think it's part of the act and a joke.
Sure, because hacky and shit like that.
As is customary for ventriloquists, yeah.
Yeah, and then Jeff Dunham shows up and ruins everything for us.
And is weirdly racist in every possible way. Yeah.
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 Not a fan of Jeff Dunham.
No, certainly not. He's awful.
That's because you're not an idiot, but all right, let's go.
Yeah, sorry.
he decides to just go with it, and he kills... some time passes as we watch him destroy in no like the in a comedy sense no
oh okay some, that's some, good yeah that's good
yeah some time passes as we watch him destroy again in a comedy sense in various bars with his newfound magical dummy. Jeff's pretty content as he thinks his life might be turning around, and he forgets about his problems for the meantime, for the most part.
Sure.
He starts noticing that as time goes on, he starts getting ventriloquist hangovers of sorts and has trouble thinking and especially communicating after these nights. Assuming he's drinking too much, as he is wont to do, he dismisses these concerns.
Sure.
After a particularly
so I'm assuming he's also like totally broken up with the wife now, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's it was done like 6 months ago, let's say. And
Is Karen
Allen even in this movie?
She comes back a little bit.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
To be fair, this is mostly I had assumed that Charles Martin Smith was the director, so I did not include him at all. Mm-hmm. And then this is mostly a Jeff Bridges vehicle for sure. Yeah.
It was a Jeff Daniels vehicle, but okay.
Yeah, it's a game time decision for sure.
So
you called an audible on a different Jeff.
Omaha, Jeff Bridges. It all works. Yeah.
So just a guess here, but since you thought it was Jeff Daniels, there's going to be America Used to Make the Tallest Dummies kind
of. Oh god, I wish. I should have. That's been coming up a lot.
Or a diarrhea scene, either that.
Yeah,
or...
boy. Yeah.
He wears a tangerine orange suit at some point for sure.
Okay, for sure. I mean, he's doing
a tangerine orange
tuxedo. Might as well. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right. Where are we here? So assuming he's just drinking too much, he dismisses it. After a particularly great night, he wakes up to his phone ringing. It's Karen, his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
There
we go.
Yeah, we're back. She wants to talk about reconciling, to his great amazement. He's very excited. He goes to speak, but realizes he can't. No matter what he does, his lips won't move. Weirder still, he thinks he hears muffled sounds coming from the Starman case.
Oh, it's like the beaver.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. He hangs up to Karen yelling at him about why he's not responding and confused, and he goes to open the case. He again tries to talk, but to his great horror, the words only come out of the dummy's mouth. No matter what he tries, it seems as though whatever's happening to him after shows finally took for good, and he can only speak through the dummy. So, after a day or two, he calls Karen back. She's understandably upset with him, but speaking through the dummy on the phone, he explains that he's in trouble and she has to come over to help him. Worried, she agrees. When she gets there and sees what's apparently happened, she's furious, assuming that he's just being an asshole and like trying to play a joke on her for no reason. And she storms out yelling about, I knew this was a mistake, you'll never change, blah, blah, blah. Further disheartened, after a few more days and many embarrassing real-world experiences trying to, for instance, buy groceries and interact with normal humans, he realizes he has to do something. He goes back to the bar and happens upon the same seat. He has to order and converse with the bartender through the dummy, of course. This bartender has seen him blasted drunk many times by this point, so he just assumes that he's being a fucking weirdo and goes with it.
Like, he asks, because like any good bartender, he's just gonna keep serving this.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is like a real shit bar, so he's just like, fucking, I don't even care.
Or
like, just
any bar.
Sure. Yeah.
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 You mean a business?
Uh-huh. Right. Right. Jeff asks about Gainey, hoping to get rid of this thing, and the bartender explains that he was in every day the week that they were both previously in, but he hasn't seen him since. The bartender mentions how he spoke so quietly and it was hard to understand him and it was very weird. It's in this exact moment that Jeff puts all the pieces together. He realizes that he couldn't really see Gainey's mouth that night and he was a bit drunk. The talking seemed a bit muffled, but he just assumed it was the bar noise. He notes that he also saw... Oh, go ahead.
He passes it on.
It's
like an It Follows.
Yeah. He notes that he also saw Gainey look directly at the case as he left, but then hurry out, like seemingly leaving it there on purpose. We get this meta reveal in like a narrative sense of other victims of this thing, and Jeff realizes that Starman is a cursed dummy, and whoever has him can just kill as a ventriloquist, but ultimately falls victim to this affliction. The realization is obviously upsetting, so he continues to drink a whole bunch, just blacking out. The next morning, he wakes up not having any idea what happened, and defeated, he stumbles into the bathroom and looks in the mirror. Abruptly, he coughs, but audibly. In shock, he cheers, also audibly, and we end on a wide shot panning into his apartment with no case in sight. And that's the movie. And
so
I wrote.
He got drunk and left
then
it.
Just like forgot about it.
He got drunk and either forgot about it or passed it on. We'll never really know. But I wrote here at the end, which you guys foreshadowed. This is my Are You Afraid of the Dark spec script, Starman.
I'm a little confused as to why it's called Starman.
I'm going to assume that it's dressed up like Ace Frehley.
Sure.
Yeah,
that works.
It definitely is dressed up like Ace Frehley. That's it.
I think
that's
it.
Zach, shut up.
Wait, so when you confused Jeff Daniels for Jeff Bridges, did you also forget what the word star or man means?
Shit, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think initially I had this idea a couple days ago where like it was gonna be a ventriloquist thing and it was gonna be like becoming a star, and then I thought of this thing tonight and it just happened. I don't really know.
Okay.
I mean titles don't make everything, right? Yeah.
I mean, titles are very often like, you know, related to the movies.
Yeah, sometimes.
They shoot horses, don't they?
Sometimes not.
Jaws is more about the fragility of male bonding than like teeth. I don't know what the fuck.
It's true. It's really true.
Teeth is definitely not about the fragility of male bonding. and instead about
well
vagina
dentata. Well done. Yeah, I mean, so, like, Starman goes, like, we all talked about, like, astronaut, David Bowie, et cetera, et cetera. And I just... I couldn't come up with anything that wasn't, like, very obvious, and then this happened. Uh-huh, so,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obvious isn't always the worst choice, but... I did like your movie. Do you want to hear about the real one?
Sure do. I really, really
do. You want the IMDb two sentence summary?
Single
it turns out.
Summer-o.
Oh, we're back to that. Good.
Yeah, it's two sentences, sort of.
All right.
User generated content.
Uh-huh. I mean, an alien takes the form of a young widow's husband and asks her to drive him from Wisconsin to Arizona. The government tries to stop them.
So Men in Black.
Yeah, or Paul.
Oh, Paul. Yeah, definitely Paul.
Oh, Paul. Yeah, I did not see that movie.
Yeah. It's the right choice. Yeah.
It's the right choice. It's not terrible, but it also is not good.
It's not Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, Zach, you thought the director was who?
I thought Charles Martin Smith might have been the director, because I thought he might have directed other things.
No, you were wrong.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He in fact plays, like, the government scientist who wants to study the alien, but then, like, eventually helps him get away at the end character.
It's also very, very confusing what that man's role is, but we'll talk about that later.
He's the Peter Coyote from E.T. of Starman.
Oh, sure.
And we'll talk
more
about E.T. today, I'm sure, as well.
Fun. Yeah. Okay.
But, who do you think, that was not the director, actually. Not even close.
Do you have any, like, basic guess? Would you like to hear more about the movie before you guess? Like...
No, I could probably throw out some guesses now.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. It's probably not Spielberg, because, like,
nope,
Close
not
Encounters,
even, no.
E.T. Okay. Shit, I don't know. Cronenberg? Did we Crones again?
Oh, Jesus. You thought this was super
really
gory and weird? And
yeah, did
goopy?
The alien pop out of a human body a bunch of times?
Well, there is a transformation scene that is... pretty creature effecty, but it's not like bloody or disgusting.
There's a lot of Quato effects here, but
Well, I got nothing then. I don't know.
It would be our good friend John Carpenter.
Oh shit! Of course. Yep. All right. What's the date on this guy?
84.
Oh, so kind of around the thing then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing might have been 86, 85.
It was his. It was two movies before this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. He made The Thing. Then he made something else. Then he made Starman.
Got it. All right.
Mm-hmm. But he actually, I'll throw this out here for a little trivia before we tell you more about the plot.
Mm-hmm. Never.
He wanted to do this movie because he made The Thing, and it was such a big failure.
Wait, this movie
was
a failure?
This movie was a modest success, but The Thing was a huge financial failure and critical failure.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Weird. Yeah, we talked about that in that episode.
Yeah.
I
guess... I did that one, too. So, yeah, I didn't actually see that one, yeah.
Okay. But basically, he wanted to do Starman because he thought it was the furthest thing away from making The Thing that he could get.
You mean aliens? Well, he was just so wrong.
well, let me give you a quick rundown of like how the plot goes.
Yeah,
I feel like a dolphin tail would be maybe the furthest thing.
Ooh, a dolphin's tail too.
Notably, no aliens.
Poseidon's fork or whatever the hell it's called.
Poseidon's big
Poseidon's
lunch.
Blowhole.
Oh, no. Is this actually a porn hub time?
Well, if you squint hard enough, yeah.
Okay.
Oh God! Okay, so here's what happens.
We've upset Lee to an adequate point. So.
We start off with the Voyager golden record, and then we see a spacecraft enter the atmosphere. You know, and it gets shot down by the military. And this beam of light being comes out and ends up at Karen Allen's house.
Sure.
And
okay. But so Sagan did a good thing, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Well, just right off the
top. Yeah, more or less. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This pleases me greatly. This
is Voyager 2, like, golden record, like, welcome via all the humans on Earth, possibly.
Right.
I mean humans.
Yeah, yeah. No, I want whale sounds and shit. Like, OG. Yeah.
There are whale sounds on the Golden
Record. There are, yes.
That's true. Yeah, there is whale song on there. That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. Speaking of movies sometime. That one of us likes a whole bunch.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, all of us like a whole bunch.
I mean, I do. That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, so this beam of light being ends up in Karen Allen's house. It's like looking through her photo albums and ends up cloning itself into her dead husband, who is Jeff Bridges.
Oh, because photos. Sure. Yeah.
Right, and there's like a lock of his hair in there, and that's how that's how they explain it. And he's this alien being, and he needs to get to his like rendezvous point in Arizona. He has like 3 days to do it. Oh. So they go on this. Convinces her to go on this road trip, and it starts off as a kidnapping.
Yeah, he doesn't really convince her. He kidnaps her.
Yeah, so it's like Alien Cannonball Run. This is fun. Okay,
kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And so as the movie goes on, it's definitely becomes a road trip movie with a little sci-fi in it. Yeah. And
that sounds very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they develop, like they build it, they get a relationship because she's teaching him how to like speak and be a human, and they fall in love and he impregnates her.
I mean, so both of those plots lead or your, those points lead me to my 2-3 word summaries.
Six-word summary. Love it.
Yeah, so my first 3-word summary is Moon Man Road Trip. Because it's a Moon Man Road Trip. And then the...
Hashtag Moon Man Road Trip.
The second one is Jeff's Magic Semen.
Her character is Baron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we've been having a lot of women's health podcasts recently.
Notably with no women actually on the pod.
Yeah.
Well, that's nothing new. He impregnates her, and one of the things he tells her is, this baby will be yours and your husband since I'm using his DNA.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But it will also be my child, and it will become a great teacher.
Yeah.
That sounds all right, I guess.
Yeah. So they get him. They end up in Arizona, and like the side plot that runs along with it is the government trying to catch them, and it's the more or less benevolent guy from SETI, and then the like evil general who wants to study. You know, like standard alien.
Yeah, do an alien autopsy.
Yep.
Fun.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And they end up in this giant crater in Winslow, Arizona, and his spaceship, which is like just a perfectly reflective sphere, shows up.
Yep, just like an Eagle song.
And beams.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
That's true. Such a fine sight to see. It's a spaceship, my lord. My concept of reality has shattered. I'm going to go jump off the bridge.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Joe Walsh is gonna sue us if we resolve this melody.
Yep, exactly.
Legal plausible deniability. Yeah.
Yeah. He gets beamed up, and one of the last things she says, like, am I ever gonna see you again? And he's like, no. And she asks him to take him with her. Mm. And he goes, it will kill you if you come with me.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah. We have those soft bodies.
Yeah, and then, you know, they kiss, and he's like, I'm gonna miss humanity because my people... This is earlier, but he's like, my people are so advanced that we don't want for anything, and we're not alive.
Like, they don't have food, they don't have, like, emotions,
they're actual beams of energy.
Okay.
They just are investigating humans.
Which is my prediction for 20 years from now, for humans.
It's your prediction for what?
20 years from now?
When
we're all computers,
established this on
the
show before.
Yeah. Mm. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, it's... Yeah, the beings just, like, don't really have any interaction in their... And they're basically anthropologically studying humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've overcome
they find them interesting.
The weaknesses of us, a la emotions and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one other thing that I left out that's pretty important that Seth will probably want to talk about more, but I'm just going to throw it out here. 7 silver balls that are magic. Those balls. More or less.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Those magic
he
balls.
He uses them throughout the movie to solve lots of problems. Yeah. And he leaves one with Karen Allen to give to their child.
Except he doesn't actually solve problems with them.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a weird space Swiss Army knife.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Essentially. Yeah,
I mean that happens a lot in movies. That's
yeah, but funny. it's this MacGuffin is real dumb.
Yeah, MacGuffin. All right.
I was so frustrated.
A, commendations again, Lee, for a wonderfully short summary. B,
it's so big of you to like compliment.
No, it's very hard. As we found out last week, like Seth did it, and I was chiming in, and then it was like 35 minutes later, we were like, "What the fuck happened?" Yeah, it's very hard.
I don't even remember what we did last week, but
a lot of abortions. Actually,
MC
Gainey
classic,
zero
Citizen
Ruth.
Oh yeah, the MC Gainey classic, Citizen Ruth. Jesus Christ.
So the one question I have is he reveals himself to her as alien and she still falls in love with him, or like how does the reveal happen? What's that whole thing?
So she sees him, like she sees the beam of energy turn into a fetus on the ground and grow into a Jeff Bridges.
I have a note here. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a note here where it's like that baby looks like fucking Quato from Total Recall. Like that's what's happening there. It's like this baby is all like weird and extremely moist and is morphing slowly into Jeff Bridges. And then also Jeff Bridges,
a lot of good style morphing.
Yeah, but Jeff Bridges do got a good ass though.
In 1984?
Oof. Peak bridge ass. Indeed, it is. It is a thing to behold.
Yep. Okay.
And let me tell you, it's a shame that he doesn't give more tours of that covered bridge.
Okay.
Well, uncovered bridge would be better. Well,
yeah, but like for the pun,
it's not as fun if it's a regular.
Get off my back.
All right, so that seems weird in of itself because, like, so that would require lots of special effects when you could have just, like, had a flash of light and Jeff Bridges appears. Like, why make it, from
fetus?
Think
they
did
it
well. It's a John Carpenter movie, though.
He's got to be weird about it.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Well, one of the quotes from Karen Allen about making this movie is that she really loved it because John Carpenter has a regular crew that he works with. It's like these people actually, like, it wasn't like most people in the business. They actually care about each other and like, so I wonder if it's just that he has a creature effects guy and it's like, you're coming with me no matter what.
Makes sense. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I should probably know that. John Carpenter is my favorite director.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you guys got for bits?
Well, let's talk
Sounds
about
like there
the
was
balls
some
for a second,
silver
shall
spheres.
We?
We
got to talk about dim balls.
So Jeff Bridges has these 7 balls, and the things that he uses, that they can basically do anything. So
are these like the 3 seashells? Can you scrape a butt with them?
They're not as mysterious as Rob Schneider described with the 3 seashells. In Demolition Man.
So the thing about these silver balls that strikes me as just dumb is he does a wildly varying levels of like complexity with these.
Yeah. Because in one scene, he has kidnapped Karen Allen and they're driving down the road and I don't remember why they stopped, because I watched this 3 or 4 days ago and I don't remember
the first
anything.
Time they stop is for gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for fuel. Right. Yes,
well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, and she has to explain to him what gas
for car fuel. He's like, and then later
he's like,
we
our ethereal energy does not require fuel. I don't know what you're talking about.
They get car fuel and then she has to explain what human fuel is.
She teaches him about apple pie and he is on board.
Yeah, definitely on board for apple pie.
They could have done a fucking combos goof. Why didn't damn it. All right. Yeah, gas stations all have combos.
Because no, because as we were talking about before, combos only exist at gas stations.
And it's good fuel. I mean, that car is going to be made of farts.
Are you talking about? Do you like heartburn and diarrhea? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Boy, do I. I really do.
Well, Jeff Daniels sure does. Because both of those things are in Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, so the different... Do you have a list of the things he uses the balls
for? No, I don't. I just have from memory where one time he makes a tire iron melt and...
Melt?
And then also an explosion.
Okay, those are... Okay, those are diverse, even for...
No. That is one event.
Early in the movie, Karen Allen, like... basically runs a truck off the road to get the driver's attention so she could like tell him she's being kidnapped.
Sure.
And when the guy is coming at him with a tire iron to help her, he uses one of the balls to make it melt, catch on fire, and then cause an explosion behind him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird. He didn't want to kill the guy, he just wanted him to turn around? Is that the gist?
Pretty much.
One time,
one of the other uses.
Time he just makes a map of the United States,
shitty holographic map.
Of the United States is like, oh, we're here in Madison, Wisconsin. We need to get to here in Arizona, and they're like state lines, and I'm very confused by this stupid, shitty map.
No way that they didn't have a map in the glove compartment of the car they were
sharing. Yeah, there's an atlas in the backseat pocket of every car till 95 for sure. Yeah. This started in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a drive. That's a hell of a drive.
Yeah, it's quite a drive, and they only have 3 days to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well.
At one point, he uses one of the balls to walk through fire with her when like they're in a police chase.
He explodes his car and rescues her.
And she had just been shot by the cops.
He uses one ball to resurrect a dead deer on the hood of a car at a diner.
And that starts a whole fight.
It starts a fight with a bunch of rednecks, and they fight, and then they like speed off. And then later they interact with the cops, and Karen Allen gets shot, and he uses another ball to save her later, but also he uses a ball to walk through fire. So that's five.
So these balls are consumables. Once you use them, they disappear.
Yeah.
Starts with seven.
It's just like the spell components in D&D if your DM is an asshole.
Sure. Well, I was gonna say like any video game. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Whoops. Yeah. Oh, I forget. I showed my hand a little too far there, didn't I?
I forget what the sixth usage is, but he saves the seventh one to get to the kid.
It's something fucking stupid. He uses it for something completely ridiculous and
love. Maybe.
No. He uses it to contact his spaceship at the very beginning.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that seems like an entirely reasonable use.
Yeah, one is actually useful, where he's like, oh, hey, Silver Ball.
Yeah, the one thing I actually need. Yeah.
We will meet in Arizona in 3 days, and if I don't make it there, I will die. Cool.
I would say this is a two-ball situation. One, call the spaceship to Arizona. Two, get to fucking Arizona. Done. Problem solved.
It really seems like he could have used the ball to get to Arizona. Yeah,
or just, hey, spaceship, like come to fucking Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. Just come to where I already am.
That's true.
Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. But most of the movie is made up of like this road trip where one, she's like, I mean, it's Stockholm Syndrome, but it's like maybe Stockholm Syndrome without malice, so I guess not as bad.
I was gonna say, it sounded like she turns pretty quick and is like into it, so
but it's also like getting to know you and like teaching someone how to be. So like there's a lot of actual Seth. I thought I was watching this and I was like, oh, this is a movie about the practical applications of linguistics
degree where like Karen Allen has to explain a lot of like idioms and things like that, which I really actually appreciated to a great degree, because she's like, oh no, like I'm worried about you a little bit. or whatever her phrase was, but she said a little bit, and then she had to explain what a little bit means. And, like, I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, I actually...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
like all of these weird social constructs. Like, for instance, there's a scene where they're eating at a diner and he tries to eat the dessert first.
The dessert
and she
first.
Is adamantly like, no, no, no. Never, ever eat apple pie before you eat your weird steak frites or whatever.
I think it was chicken fried steak.
Steak frites. As I said, in middle America.
Yeah, chicken fried steak and potatoes. Yeah, that's the name. Checks out.
What do y'all got at this diner that's good? Steak au poivre.
We have that.
Vichyssoise, the soup of the day.
Oh, we have that weird songbird that we then murdered. And you have to wear.
Consume under an apple.
Yeah, you have to wear a weird so hood gross. In order to not affront God as you kill this animal.
Anyway, we have that at this little diner. But yeah, so they go through all of this, and the reasoning is he learned enough of English to engage with someone from the Voyager spacecraft. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Yeah. So, Lee, I have a posit. Do you think that this is like an alien Rumspringa? Like...
Oh, shit!
Yeah, so, like, Jeff Bridges said that his species had been here before, and the aliens are, like, sent to Earth to, like, investigate them.
Yeah, intermittently to look into stuff.
Yeah, wait, so are they actually there to sow their wild oats on this weird planet with, like, emotions and frivolities and all this other kinds of bullshit?
Because they get to blow a load and then they never have to worry about it. There's no,
and then they go back to their boring, weird communist planet with no food and no fun. And so it's like alien Rumspringa. That's my positive.
I bet that too many aliens were staying, so they invented the you die after 3 days.
Oh, yes, so you only have 3 days. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
This works on so many levels, because, like, Earth is, like, comparatively trashy compared to whatever their wonderful life is.
Yeah, it is super,
like,
trashy.
Yeah, you come to Earth and blow loads and smoke cigarettes and eat apple pie and shit. It's like exactly
he does
what
all of those things.
Yeah, like all of apple those pie. Things. Apple pie is to aliens what, like, meth is to the Amish people. This is exactly Rumspringa. This is perfect.
Earth is the meth of the universe.
Yeah,
that's what we are. Yeah,
this is amazing. Yeah,
yeah,
I totally
buy it.
That's
my version of this movie.
I don't know if that's true, but I love it. That is a
great interpretation. Yeah.
It's a much, like, darker interpretation too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't assume any aliens are benevolent. I think they mostly just want to...
I think that's smart.
Our Lord Stephen Hawking also said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said,
I mean, a lot of people do.
Yeah, if they're out there, they want to fucking kill us. Whoops.
Or just, like, have sex with us and then, like, disappear for a while.
That seems more peaceful.
Yeah. Aliens, in essence, are just deadbeat dads.
Let's see, Star-Lord.
Wait, are we back to
Jake?
Dads are the worst. Alien dads are the worst.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Both Jake and Finn from Adventure Time, they both have shitty dads. They're just like,
I thought Jake's dad was good. I thought his parents were good.
Oh,
they
well,
Finn
his
in.
Adopted parents are good. His real parents are this weird, or like his real progeny is this weird alien thing. But that's neither here nor there.
Zach's shaking his head. I think this guy got cut.
that was a later season thing.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. That's like fifth or sixth season.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I want to talk about some of the behind the scenes stuff about the movie.
Yes, definitely.
By the way, Zach, MC Gainey just plays a cop. Like, he's in the last scene. We just threw him in there.
Yeah, no, because he was in the last movie and...
Yeah, I mean, that's his usual thing. He's that guy too. He just shows up as like a buff dude and like a biker or whatever.
Yeah,
100%.
Kind of,
he is a biker all the time. Yeah. So one of the really, I think, kind of interesting things about this movie is it was in development for like 5 years.
Oh, it was in development hell. Interesting.
Yeah. Fucking Michael Douglas's production company made it, and he bought the rights, and they sold it to Columbia, who also held the rights to a movie called Night Skies, a movie that became E.T.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So they had both of these movies in production, and they were like, Night Skies is taken, like, it's a real kids movie it's taken shape of. We don't want this anymore. So they unloaded it.
Sure. Oh, and, wow. Bummer.
Yeah. And then, you know, Spielberg goes off, I think Paramount, makes E.T., like, at the time, the most successful movie ever.
For decades, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he, in the meantime, Columbia keeps cycling. This movie went through like 7 different directors.
I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, it has 2 acknowledged screenwriters, but it's probably more like 8 or 9 people took passes at this script. Yeah, until they finally ended up on John Carpenter and the version of the script that they made, which ends up coming out 2 years after E.T.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Weird.
Yeah,
I feel E.T. and from what you guys describe this movie as, they're not all that similar except for there's an alien. Like,
yeah.
Well, I think the idea was there were 2 scripts about a friendly alien, like more or less, and one of them was geared at adults, and one of them was geared at children.
Yeah, that seems like they could coexist, though, is what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, but
I'm sure that Columbia wished that they had thought so too. But...
Oh yeah, certainly.
But like Jeff Bridges is like a sexy alien.
And E.T. is a very sexy alien.
It's true. I mean, yeah. I remember Star Wars 2.
That's the first one in the Senate.
Oh, is
it's
in there?
It's in Phantom Menace.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Just fucked that up. Sorry, fellas.
you should be ashamed. They're working on this movie. It was supposed to have a lot of like political overtones. But when they hired John Carpenter, he asked them to just turn it into like a road trip romance movie, and they were like, "Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, why not? Sure."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I guess he had a lot of sway because Michael Douglas was a big fan of his movies, so he was like, "Yeah, this is the guy we need to make this movie." So
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the other directors were, but that seems like a promising start. Yeah,
A lot of like just 80s directors that maybe you don't know their names but you know their movies. Mm-hmm. Like who directed War Games was gonna direct it at one point.
Well, that seems like more of an E.T. feel. Like that's more of like a, not a kid's movie, but like a more of an E.T. thing.
Yeah,
it's probably like a teen movie. Yeah.
Yeah, just like Space Jam. Mm-hmm.
Come on and slam. Mm-hmm. Welcome to that jam.
And motherfucking jam.
Yeah. Some of the other people considered for this role were Kevin Bacon and Tom Cruise. Oh. Both.
Whoa. Wow. Hey, they are space fellas. They've been doing some space things. Yeah.
Yeah, they were both at one point either like the front runner or confirmed for this movie, and then like scheduling things came up.
Yeah. Okay. Probably for Tremors.
Oh, great movie.
Ooh, Tremors is probably a little bit later than that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's not forget Reba in that movie, because she is the star.
Reba is indeed in that movie, as married to that weird gun-toting crazy person.
Yep.
With the mustache and a hat.
Yep.
So I was going to ask, so we have Jeff Bridges in Lebowski and Jeff Bridges in fucking Last Picture Show, but those are decades away from this. What was he doing at this point? Like,
so
he was like famous, right in for sure,
right in between the two.
This is
it is the decade between. So he at the time I guess was like famous but not a huge star.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually got nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
He's the only
nomination to come out of a John Carpenter movie is for Jeff Bridges and Starman.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I was reading some reviews from the time period that said, like, if this movie doesn't make Jeff Bridges into like a huge star, nothing ever will.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So Jeff Bridges spends most of the movie like being awkward and confused, but he's like, define love. Oh, Karen,
he does say that several times.
Karen Allen. What is? Define a little bit. Karen Allen. Why is there a dead deer on that car? That does not make sense.
He does a lot of like not blinking and holding his mouth partway open throughout the entire movie. Uh-huh.
This weirdly, as much as I like Jeff Bridges, this seems like a strange role for him. Like I can't picture him doing that.
I think he does a good job with
this.
He's really good.
I feel like he always plays like super cool, super like always knows what he's doing, like that guy. Yeah. And this seems like the opposite of that. So
yeah,
I think that's definitely current day Jeff Bridges.
Sure. Like, well, he's like massively famous now. So yeah, sure.
And he won his Oscar, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, true that. Yeah.
So Zach, I actually think you would hate this movie.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Okay. You said that, and I loved it. Like,
I enjoyed this movie too, but I think that Zach in particular would hate this movie.
Wait, is it in black and white?
No.
No.
All right. No, points four.
It is not in black and white, but it is reasonably slow.
Oh.
See, I think this movie moves at like a fucking clip.
You really think? Like, I think that there's a lot of character development, but there's not a lot of plot development for most of it from the beginning to the end.
I agree.
I don't care for that.
It moves in a pretty straight line, yeah.
Yeah, so like we have a lot of like Karen Allen and Jeff Bridges like learning
just fucking around. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like learning about themselves and each other and whatever, but like the plot is laid out in the first 10 minutes after we see weird Quado Jeff Bridges until the end. And there's not a lot of plot in between other than let's get us to Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple like hitches where they run into an obstacle that they have to overcome.
There are I think at least two second act hitches. Like, but in general though, like I think in like Zach, you would hate this movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're probably right.
I like this movie. Yeah. Lee likes this movie, but I think this is not necessarily a movie for you.
Yeah. Zach, have you ever seen Galaxy Quest?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you know how the aliens in that movie talk? Like, you are our last hope.
Yeah.
It's like that.
His entire delivery, the whole movie.
It is. That is very tedious. Very tedious.
Yeah.
Well, my one word summary from last week when we were teasing the movie idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
He is.
Right,
yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
I read that he studied birds to get because he wanted to mimic the movements of birds discovering things for the first time.
Jeff Bridges, sure, that's a little bit of a push. I'm sorry.
So he does a lot of weird head movement.
Very jerky.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean,
his gait is so crazy because it changes throughout the movie because he's trying to figure out how to walk.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
We don't know what aliens are like, so I guess like you can.
We do know what aliens are like. It's from that Charlie Sheen movie, The Arrival, where their knees bend the other way.
Oh sure. Yeah. Never mind.
I don't think that was a Charlie Sheen movie, by the way. But all right.
No, The Arrival.
Yeah,
not
Arrival.
Oh, okay.
HBO mainstay in the mid 90s, The Arrival.
Yeah, okay, sure, not Arrival with the like septagonal symmetry creatures.
And again with linguistics or at least communication. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was gonna say like aliens are kind of a choose your own adventure thing. Like if you think they're raptor based or bird based, then like go for it, I guess.
I feel like there was an R.L. Stein novel that was a choose your own adventure with a dummy. Similar.
Right?
I fully agree.
It was called TikTok You're Dead. And actually about a clock that killed you, maybe.
Oh, okay. And the dummy was just on the cover to move copies. Yeah.
It was holographic, though, so, you know.
Yeah, I remember that
special
shit.
Special edition, yeah.
I think I really only had one other thing to mention. I've got two quick ones. One is the reason why John Carpenter wanted Jeff Bridges is because Jeff Bridges, he had passed him over for both The Thing and Escape from New York.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, shit. Okay.
Yeah, he was in the running for Snake Plissken and MacReady. Both played by Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I do love a good Kurt Russell, but I can imagine both of those ish with Jeff Bridges, and they're very good. Also, very
I can
good.
Imagine MacReady more so, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Escape from New York would have had to been a more of a cowboy thing, maybe with Bridges,
which wouldn't have been bad. But
no,
anyway.
Well, it would have been Cowboys and Aliens, but yeah, whatever. Okay,
that movie's fucking terrible.
That's a rough
fuck. I've done 3 John Carpenter movies now. I forgot about Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Damn.
Uh-huh. So far. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention was the movie's budget was about $24 million and it made about $28 million. So it was
moderate success.
Yeah. Critically, it was very successful, especially at the time, but commercially it was okay. And I mean,
this
movie's kind of been totally forgotten.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what marketing was back then, but my understanding nowadays is if you make exactly what you paid, you've lost by a lot because marketing doesn't get pushed into that.
I imagine it wasn't nearly as much then.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I think this is the only John Carpenter movie that he didn't write at least part of the score for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
There wasn't a lot of weird synth bullshit.
Not a lot of Moog.
Yeah. Sure.
This is a good movie. I don't know. If I wasn't a John Carpenter fan, I probably wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, for sure.
We should go ahead and get into the ratings. So the IMDb for this is 7.0. So
it's a reasonably
high rated film for those that are willing to actually watch it. So Lee,
it's not that long either. It's about what is it? It's not quite 2 hours.
Because the first several versions that I managed to find streaming that I sent to Lee were like missing the last half an hour to 45 minutes.
That seems crucial.
Yeah, it kind of was.
It would move. It would end on a really different tone. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Lee,
it's all rising action. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, why did it just end when there was just like a pile of explosions and no conclusion? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lee, what are your ratings for Zach's version and the original?
Yeah. So the original, I don't know. I disagree. I think it moved very fast. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
Okay.
But as you know, I'm a big John Carpenter fan, so that always gives it a little bit of a bump until we hit the 90s at least. like 96 or so. So anyway, I think like as an this to me feels like the most This Is on HBO, I May As Well Leave It On movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And I think a movie like that, a 7 is probably fair. I maybe enjoyed it a little more than a 7, but if I'm being true to myself, 7 is probably real. Like,
okay.
I think that IMDb's got it right on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
7. Yeah.
Now for you, Zach, it was fine. I feel like a real jerk, but like
no, living your truth, living my truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think any movie about this plot like would be pretty decent, but like calling it Starman was just kind of weird.
It was an 11th hour thing, as we discussed.
You had this plot in your heart, and it was like fucking Finding Forrester gave you the first paragraph. And you were
Yeah, it came to me and I farted it out.
Spoilers for Finding Forrester. Like, what?
Confusing. So, you know, you're the ventriloquist now, dog. I'm gonna give yours.
Oh dear.
Because it was still totally decent. Like, it was a pretty good movie. This is more of a Leave It On TNT kind of movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because
They do no drama. I'm gonna give it. Jesus. So, you know, you put it in. You sandwich it with a Supernatural marathon and then another Supernatural. Marathon. Yeah.
Oh, boy. It is all they do. Yes. That is Yuckers. Correct. Yeah.
So let me give you a 6.8.
Okay, well, I'll definitely take that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Seems good.
Because mm-hmm. it wasn't quite so good as a 6.9.
Nice.
It was still good.
Sure,
it was a good movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Seth, what do you think?
Zach, your story was an R.L. Stein, novella.
Yep. Yeah, that's the right word. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what if the dummy did the talking for the guy? And then fuck it, he leaves it somewhere.
I mean, there's a Batman villain, I believe, for a long time who did a very similar thing where the guy was insane. And so, like, I would have liked a slash towards realism where you have like the ventriloquist actually being insane and having to deal with that, though he...
Oh, that's always your answer, though.
Yeah, I know, right?
Not that this will color your rating by any means, but I...
You watched a bunch of Batman the Animated Series before you did this, and...
Sure enough.
You talk about...
Zach's a Batman Beyond kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Gross. What?
No, hide a Batman Beyond in the fucking fridge kind of guy.
You mean Batman and Robin, the Jerry Schumacher.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. No, I got two-thirds of the way through and then went to the bottom of the text file and wrote, this is an Are You Afraid of the Dark spec script, and then went back and still finished the fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's because you're a fucking pro.
Yeah.
I mean, I could write for Gilmore Girls fucking all day long.
Yeah,
like, if it's formulaic that you want, I'm your man.
Yeah, if the dialogue had been at least 30% faster, then yeah, that would be a Gilmore episode, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to step off Amy Sherman Palladino's dick on this one, because she knows what she's doing, guys.
Should I go Supernatural? We just talked about Supernatural. I feel like it still applies. Yeah. Anyway. Go ahead.
So, Zach, for your R.L. Stein novella, I'm gonna give you like a six, a solid six. Like, I'd watch it, but I don't...
Still good for you.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
I mean, yeah, like, it's a good sense, I'd watch it, but I don't really care.
Yeah, yep,
like,
absolutely.
As
yes.
Lee said, it could be on the television, and I would...
Yeah.
It would be on in the background. It's not terrible, but I also don't really like it. So
yeah, you'd watch it on freemium, but not premium.
Yeah, for sure. I would steal it while I write my dissertation in the background.
Yeah. If you happened upon the channel, you'd do it. If you had to hit three remote buttons to on demand it, you definitely
wouldn't
do it.
No,
that's way too
even,
much.
Not even if it
way
was free.
Too much. Yeah.
Not even if it was free.
Not even possible.
Yeah.
As
real movie.
As for the original, I think Lee is correct. Like, a 7 is a really solid assessment of this. Like,
okay,
it's good. It is. On the next
train, where you go, just fucking.
I follow you everywhere.
Are you proud of yourself? Are you proud of yourself?
We're not gonna have
you guys
to cut all of this out.
Like Carole King, fucking Tapestry, man.
Okay,
great. I know that's not from Tapestry, but
no, it isn't. So I'm gonna give it a 7 also, because it is like enjoyable and it's worth watching. But like, I just despite what Lee says, I think it is kind of slow.
Okay,
fair.
And kind of trotting through it all.
Yeah. It's worth seeking out, but it's not worth working hard.
That's
top tier Carpenter, but it's not like it's at the bottom of the top tier.
And like there's a bunch of scenes where there were fake snow, which make me really angry, and by a bunch of scenes I mean the end scene. And I really, right,
when he's getting beamed up on his spaceship, really, and whatnot, yeah,
really hate fake snow in movies because it,
it. But what if they use shredded coconut? Do you like it better then?
No, because it all looks like either shredded coconut or shredded soap, and
that just,
I hate it.
That just blows the budget too. Oh, it's so expensive. So many coconuts. Yeah.
But at least after the fact, your cast skin is going to be just supple.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Rub it in.
Yeah, this movie is fine, but not spectacular. It's the kind of movie that you should put on for a date night and then probably go fuck or whatever.
Seth, you never get this body.
So it's a, yeah, so it's a Seth 7 and a date night 10 10 10. Ooh.
Watch Starman. Okay.
There we go.
Got that Bridges
button. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll get your D wet if you watch Starman.
Oh, boy. Boy.
I don't know if I endorse that. I don't know, but yeah.
All right. So,
no, that's a terrible statement. It's a fine movie. It's worth having on, and then what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds like I lost by a smidge, but not by much, which is, I think, as expected. Yeah. All right. Next week, things I'm more excited for than this movie that I just did.
Well, hold on. Before next week's episode, we're gonna have a little year one retrospective coming at you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We'll try to keep it short, but just a little look back at it. I mean,
yeah, no, whatever is that.
I'm off next week and we're gonna record this next week. Yeah.
Eight hour episode where we're gonna play clips and it's gonna be fucking bananas. Yeah.
Our favorite, each of us are gonna pick our favorite episode and we're gonna play them in full silence.
Yep.
And then talk about them.
Oh, wonderful.
We're gonna have
Jack's not gonna include the original files. He's gonna have a recording of me playing them on my phone.
On a
God,
fidelity be damned.
We are total garbo.
Yep.
High Fidelity is a movie that doesn't hold up.
It really doesn't. True, I watched that recently. True. Oh, I fucking loved that movie as a 18-year-old.
There you go.
To show that we're all stupid assholes when we're teenagers.
Yeah. Well,
so Zach was saying after our anniversary celebration minisode,
after all them bits, we're gonna have a very good friend of
the
show.
Recipes.
Damn Daniels coming back. Excited about that. And he's gonna do.
Tell him what we want.
Oh my
tell
god,
him what we want.
What we want, Ghost, and I'm so excited. I'm beside myself.
Ooh,
Lee, what's the quote? What's the quote for Ghost?
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Oh, girl. Yeah. It's gonna be something for sure. Yeah. I don't know what the release schedule is gonna be like for the retrospective and the actual app, but we'll figure it out. So I don't know. John Carpenter, something. Who's got a fun goof for the end of this?
We could probably cut it at Bustin Makes Me Feel Good if no one else has anything.
Yeah, that seems fine. I'm going to have to
splice offer up any additional information after
I'm
that.
No, the movie Ghost came after that. I'm going to have to splice it back.
No, the movie Ghost came before that.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's...
My God, Jesus Christ.
I'm a little drunk. All right, yeah, we're good.
Caught.
Yeah, we got it. We got it at Bustin Makes Me Feel Good. Yeah.